Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Yeah, I'm not much for one being super quiet in church. I grew up in, I've had a lifetime of quietness in church growing up. You weren't supposed to make a sound where I grew up in church. You were supposed to wipe, they told me, wipe the smile off your face. You're going to church. So I smile in church. I do it because I had 20 years of not doing it. And so I'm determined to have fun in church. I mean, what better place to have fun than in church? Isn't that right? Besides that, I think most people take themselves too seriously. They look at themselves in the mirror and they get all down about what they see. Some people don't like themselves, what they see in the mirror, all of that. But I'm going to tell you something. You might as well laugh. You might as well grin. You might as well say, God, you really got a sense of humor when you made me. You know, I remember when God called me, I didn't talk like I do now. I was very nasal, muffled my words, all of that. And when God called me to be a preacher, I said, God, you really got a sense of humor, don't you? Giving me a voice like this. Well, I didn't know at that time that you had to develop your voice. And so we learned some things over the years. And so we were able to get some good education along those lines, and so we're still working on it. How many of you are still working on who you see in the mirror? Isn't that right? I know we'd like to work on our spouse or on our kids or on our neighbors or on our boss, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. The one that you can work on all the time at any time is yourself. Isn't that right? And I'm glad we got the Lord to help us with that. Isn't that right? I want to read a scripture to you this morning, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And so we're glad to see every one of you while you're turning your Bibles to that. You're looking on your devices and everything. It is so wonderful to see all of you. Good to be in Life Point Church. Feel kind of at home. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And I won't go into the history of this, of how this got started, but I can tell you this. I still have pictures before, pictures and how we found it, this place, and every time I look at all of this, I thank God for the way it is now. Thank God for the way it is now. And there's a few of us here that that were in on the original. I remember Brother Dave back there did all the electrical, had this huge mess that he found under the stage. And let me tell you, the stage was about this tall, wasn't it? In other words, there was this platform, and then there was a big, old, very high platform on top of that. So we took that off, and that's when we found the electrical mess and all of that. And those outlets along that wall had never worked, is what they told us. And half of the other receptacles didn't work, and you had to be careful about some of the ones that did work because they were wired wrong. It had to do with the three-phase wiring and all of that, and it'd burn up your drill. It'd burn up anything you plugged into it. So it was kind of interesting. And so we had all of that happen, and we had to take it all the way down to the concrete here. We had to put in, Didn't we cut in a trench here, Lonnie, down through the center so that we could run wires to communicate with the front here? We had new doors and windows put in, and that's a miracle in itself. Pretty much new everything. New bathrooms. Praise the Lord. We had two little bitty stalls. Had piece of plywood between each stall. And they had stuccoed it with big pointy drywall, big pointy design, you know. And if you got against it, it hurt. And so we thought maybe we ought to change that. Besides that, it didn't smell good. And then we dug it. Then we decided for more bathrooms, more stalls, you know, and so forth. And so, anyway, one thing led to another. It didn't look good for quite a while, but it was a miracle in the happening because of the finances that came in and the people that came to help and the amount of work that got done in just a couple of months. It was amazing. Of course, we had to rest for a year or more after we got it done. Almost seemed like it anyway. We were all pretty tired by the time opening day came and all of that. But we're excited about this place. We're excited about God doing something in Mattoon, Illinois. How many of you are excited about that? In Coles County and wherever you're from, God doing something for you and through you. Isn't that right? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And so I want to just take one part out of that and talk about that today. There's a lot to be talked about in this verse, but I want to talk about one part. There's a phrase there, "He has sent me." And that's what I want to talk to you about. He has sent me. And how many of you, your parents, when you were children, sent you to do something? Accomplish something? Or maybe your boss said, "Here's the credit card. I'm sending you to do this." They empowered you. They authorized you to do something, didn't they? And so here's the idea that Jesus is saying. He said he didn't come on his own. He didn't come just because he wanted to. He didn't come just because he thought it would be fun. He didn't come because he wanted adventure. He came because he was sent. Everybody say sent. And so Jesus, I like reading the Gospels because in the Gospels we see what Jesus did, which is our example of a person that is Spirit-filled, and it is also our example of someone who is called to ministry. So whether we're not called to ministry or we're called to ministry, Jesus and what he did in the Gospels is our example of what is possible. And so if you're like me when I was a kid, I would read the Gospels and hope I'd never have to do that because I did not see the possibilities there. I could not get past all the commandments, all the thou shalts and thou shalt nots and all of that. In the church I grew up in, they had lots of rules, and most of them started with don't. You know what I'm saying? And so we you know, it's just one of those things. Good people. But I'll tell you the truth about it. I think they stayed awake at night thinking up rules, things that we shouldn't do. But how many of you know that God has set us free? God has set us free. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're free in Christ." Amen. And so when I read this, "He has sent me." It was reminded of when I had a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me. The ceiling disappeared in 1978, December. And there he was. He said, I pointed a finger at me and said, "I've called you to preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Now, so sometime later, 1982, my wife and I, we were living in Arthur at the time. And so we left and went moved to Oklahoma to go to Bible school because we planned to answer that call. Now, in my denomination, they heard that Marvin Yoder's going to Bible school to be a preacher. And they thought that I had just got up and went. The truth is that I went because God sent me. So, see, there's a big difference. Big difference. Now you say, well, what has that got to do with me? You're the preacher. Well, it has everything to do with every one of us, because God has given us grace, each one of us, grace to be in a specific place in the body of Christ. And when you find that place, you can say with all your heart, He has sent me to be in that place. Amen? There is something that happens when we have that sense of being sent. Okay, there's something that causes change to come to us when we have that ability. The word sent means to be set apart, to be sent to do a mission. Okay, I didn't say to go to the mission field. I said there's some people, as soon as you hear that word, they add the word field. Well, the truth is that everywhere is a mission field. It's all a mission field. Okay, so we're all, this is a mission field. Okay? I can tell you that I go many places. Just got back from the Democratic Republic of Congo over in Africa, preaching over there in churches and teaching in Bible schools and seeing God move and doing great things. And so, that's a mission. That's a mission field. We think that's a mission field, but the truth is that wherever you are is a mission field. You need to look at it that way. God puts you in a place where you are. That's your field to work in. That's your field to do something. That's your field to expect God to do something. That's your place to expect God to perform His promises and His word in you, through you, and around you in a mighty way. I'll tell you the truth about it. God would just as soon work in your life as He would anywhere else, anyone else. Absolutely. I don't know how many times I've told my wife, God would just as soon answer our prayer as anyone else's. Isn't that the truth? Hallelujah. We said, well, if I could just get the Apostle Paul to pray for me, I know God would answer that. Well, listen to me. That means, but when people say things like, if I could just get my pastor to pray for me, well, thank God for good pastors that know how to pray. Amen. And we don't want to stop right there, because I don't want to talk about things I've seen, all right? But I will tell you, there's something about godly pastors that will get a hold of God, and we thank God for that. But there ought to be a sense within you that you can come to God and get an answer yourself, because your pastor's not always there. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, I want to talk about this a little bit. He has sent me. Jesus, when He said that, and you read that particular verse right there, we can say this, that this is at the beginning of His ministry and what He came to do in this earth. And so the truth is that God has created every one of us to do something in this earth, something of His pleasure. Something that He would call us to. Something that he has built us to do. Designed us to do. Okay? And so here's what I see in this Luke 4:18. He has sent me. And there's a sense of purpose in that particular statement. Jesus had a purpose. A purpose in life. There was a reason why He was here on earth instead of remaining in heaven with the Father. Purpose. And He never forgot that. Never forgot that. He has sent me. And so another thing that I see is when people are sent, and they are in the place that God has for them and doing what God told them to do, there comes authority and power with it. that you can't have if you're not there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "For this purpose Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." It's a good thing to know that you have power and authority. I can't imagine anybody going into places I've been, some of the places I've been, without knowing your power and authority. We were initially denied entrance into the Democratic Republic of Congo, and it was a great opportunity to pray. It really was. We prayed fervently, under our breath, of course. And I waited to see, because the gentleman said, "You will not come into this country. You will not come into this." He kept shaking his head. And there were several others around me that were in the same. He was denying also, and they were more nationals, so they began yelling at him. They had the advantage because they knew the language. I had a language barrier, and so I kept shoving my paperwork at him. But I'm praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, using my authority, depending upon the power of God to get me into that country. I had met all the requirements that the embassy had set, but this gentleman stood in the way. And suddenly a policeman stepped up, phone in hand, handed it to him, and indicated that he was to talk to somebody. It was a short conversation, and when that guy handed the phone back to the policeman, he looked at me and he went, suddenly, God moved. All right? And so you have to understand that there is a sense of being sent that is necessary. If we're going to do God's work, be who we're supposed to be as Christians, and live the life that we're supposed to live. Another thing that I see here is a sense of mission, meaning this, that he came to do something. He came to fulfill something. Luke 9:56, he said this. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but that he might save them." And here's what I see with that. How many times in the Gospels do you read where he talked to the disciples about how he must be crucified and die and be raised up the third day? Now, we know he was telling the disciples that. They didn't get it. They didn't get it ahead of time. But here's the deal. Jesus had gotten the mission clearly in his mind, and he kept it clear by talking about it. Do you see that? He kept it clear by talking about it. Listen to me. If you want to do what you were born to do, you got to keep talking about it. One of the things that I do every day, I talk about the purpose of what we're doing. I tell it to myself, if I don't say it to somebody else. What am I doing? I'm keeping my sense of mission. Okay? What are you called to do? What are you sent to do? What has God gifted you to do? Begin to talk about it. Keep talking about it. People have a habit of talking initially about it, but then they kind of fade away with that and kind of get into the grind of the thing, and it's just a daily thing. And then too many times it turns out to be less than what they had anticipated. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Been there, done that, bought several T-shirts. Okay? And so here's the deal. We've got to keep talking about what we were born to be, even if it doesn't look like it's happening. Even if I'm at the current moment, God called me to be over there, and I wake up and I'm finding myself going this way, I got to keep talking about it. I said, no, Marvin, you're headed the wrong way. Remember that you were born too. And verbalizing, listen to this, verbalizing the mission is one of the first steps in going in that direction. It is also part of the empowering process that keeps you headed in the right direction. Okay? You got to keep talking about it. Tell somebody, keep talking. Now, you know, and so we have to make sure that we do that. A sense of mission. How did he end up fulfilling his mission? Well, there's a couple things real quickly. And that is, first of all, he stayed focused on his mission. He was focused on it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He did not look at the shame. He did not look at the suffering. He did not look at something else. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he focused on that joy. He focused on what was coming after all of the events of the cross. Stayed focused on that. You may have to walk through some things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you may have to walk through some situations where it's so bad you get stuff on your shoes. And you got to clean your shoes because you've been walking in stuff. You know what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you. But you got to stay focused. Sometimes it hurts. I can't tell you that where my wife and I are at is easy. Smith Wigglesworth said, the great apostle of faith that we so highly, look at, read his writings, talk about the miracles he had, the healings he had. He said, I died 1,000 times to be where I'm at. Died to my wants, died to my desires, died to my ambitions, died to the opportunity, the other opportunities that were presented to me. In other words, he didn't get sidetracked. He stayed focused. Let's go on. Here's another thing Jesus did. I talked about it. He spoke of his mission repeatedly. Talked about it all the time. Number three, he prayed for it. He said, not my will, but your will be done. One of the things that's challenged me is when Brother Hagin had been in the ministry for 65 years, he said he still prays that prayer of consecration every day. Not my will, but your will be done. That is necessary in order for us to accomplish our mission. And so here's the thing. All of these things that I'm listing are things that allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to work in me and help me to move forward toward what God said. Can't tell you how many people that I've seen, preachers and lay people, that both, that have started out well with God, but somewhere along the way, they lost their focus. They lost their desire to talk about it. And they didn't pray. How do you know they didn't pray? Because prayer keeps things at the forefront. You know what I'm saying? Another thing that he did, you notice this? He willfully fulfilled his mission. I met some people that get this look on their face. You might have seen them. They get this look on their face. I'm doing what God said. And they get this sour look on their face. Bless God, I'm doing what God said. And the message is, don't get in my way. I'd rather do something else, but I'm doing what God said. And listen to me. They may be doing what God said, but I question the willingness because of the tone of their voice. Do you see what I'm saying? Isaiah 1, 19 says that if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Oh, my friend, listen to me. Let me share something with you. I had it made. I'm on pastoral staff at Rhema. I'm teaching in the Bible school. I got it made. And God dealt with me to leave that comfort zone and to step out in the middle of a COVID pandemic when the country was shutting down. He said, I want you to start traveling. Great sense of timing there, isn't it? And so, you know how your mind works? How many of your mind works? It's working right now, isn't it? I'm not going to ask you how many thoughts you've had this morning. Charles Cowan asked one guy, how many thoughts have you had this morning? And he said, the guy looked up at him, finally he said, one. Charles told him, he said, this must be a slow morning, right? Anyway. But here's the deal. In my mind, I was trying to figure out how maybe I can do what God's asking me to do without leaving my position there. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I'm going to require you to do this. And he said, if you don't, he said, you'll start having health problems, and no amount of faith and confession is going to bring healing to you if you don't do what I say. I maintain that there are a lot of people that deal with things unnecessarily because they're out of position of what God said. I listened to that and I said, I made up my mind to go. I said, I don't need any health problems. Now here's what happened. Since then, I've had many opportunities to have health problems. But here's what I did. I said, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. I'm doing what God said. I'm doing it willingly. I'm happy doing it. Thank God for it. I'd rather do this than anything else in the world. You can't put that on me, devil. And it leaves. I can't tell you how many symptoms I've run off just by doing that. Oh, no, you don't do that. You can't do that. I'm doing what God said. See, a sense of mission, sense of purpose. He has sent me. Boy, it helps you stand your ground and enables you to say, no, no, I'm in the place God told me to be. I'm doing what God said. You're not putting that on me. Smile at somebody and say, and just tell them, that sounds good. Oh, yeah. But here's what my problem was growing up. Now listen to me. I wasn't always where I'm at today. For a long time, I was on the outside looking in. And I didn't want in. Because I didn't think I could have any fun. I looked at all the preachers that I knew. They were all stern, unapproachable, never had fun, hardly ever smiled. Who'd want to live like that? Here's another thing I saw. On Sunday morning when I didn't go to church, I'm out there doing my thing. On Sunday morning, I'd occasionally see somebody going to church. I'd also see other people doing other things. You know? Somebody's going to go play golf. They got a smile on their face. Happy look. This family comes along. They're dressed for an outing, you know. The dog's hanging his head out the window and all of that. The kids are in the back and the parents are happy and smiling because it's still morning. It's not the end of the day. And here comes this couple that's dressed. You can tell they're going to church. And looking sour. Looking like they're in pain, looking like they're dreading the experience. We're going to church. I saw that and I thought, why would I want to do that? When we were growing up, I told my kids and my wife on the way to church, smile, the world is looking at you. See, I saw that. And I thought, I don't want anything to do with that. I got the picture that God does not want you to have fun. He's going, if I ever give up to God, I'm going to give up all opportunities for fun. And I liked having fun. I still do. I still have fun. I still tell jokes. Did you hear about the guy that got two dogs? Called one of them Timex, the other one Rolex. He said they're good watchdogs. And anyway, all right. All right, I should have never got up, right? Anyway, all right, come on now. So, I was not willing for a long time because I couldn't see what God really had for me. It was not until I got born again and started reading my Bible that I found out how much fun I could have. I can be in church and have fun. I can serve God and have fun. I can do that. Fun is not my mission. But fun helps me to be energized and to enjoy the journey. Okay? And so willing, Jesus willingly fulfilled his mission. And then finally he finished his mission. He stuck with it. It was tough. Hard. He finished the most difficult mission that was ever accomplished. He did it. How did he do that? By the Spirit of God, he was raised from the dead. And then he said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Dwells in you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's true. Isn't that right? Talking about you. You have the same Spirit. How are you going to get done what God has for you? The Spirit of God helping you. You don't do it on your own. Isn't that right? Abraham was sent to a new land. He had to obey God. That's where the blessings came. Moses was sent to lead the people of Israel. That was why he was born. David was sent to be the king of Israel. An unknown man named Ananias, relatively unknown, nothing much is known about him, named Ananias, came to Saul when he was struck blind in Damascus, and he said, even the Lord Jesus Christ sent me to bring healing to you and that you may be filled with the Spirit. Sent. Acts chapter 13, you see where a bunch of preachers got together and they prayed, got some direction, and they sent Paul and Barnabas out to do what the Holy Ghost had told them to do. Sent. Years ago, listen to this. Years ago, I had a friend of mine called me. He said, let's go to Brussels, Belgium. There's a prayer breakthrough there, and we can go. Three days. Round trip and hotel, $300. Now, you know that's some time ago. But even then, you know, wages weren't what they were now and that type of thing. But $300 was still cheap even then. And I said, I'm going. I started to get my stuff together. I'm going. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? You didn't even have to pray about that price, you know. And the Lord spoke to me one day as I was getting some stuff ready. And he said, you can go and say you went, but you can't say you were sent. So I stayed home. And here's my commitment that I made to God at that time. And that is this, unless I'm sent, I'm not getting involved. I will do what God sent me to do. What God sent me to do. And you have to make that commitment. I will do what God sent me to do. Now, I know some people, I've met some Christians that hide behind that. People, they get asked to do something in the church. God didn't send me to do that. God didn't. I don't feel led to do that. No, my friend, listen to me. There are some things that you can help out willingly, and it's because it's a good thing to do. But that there's some things you got to find your place in the body of Christ, and you got to why? Because that's where God sent you. At Rhema, there's a guy named Harold that has been an usher since the beginning of the church. And some of you that have been at Rhema have heard him. He says, I appreciate you. He would tell everybody that. And he's done that since the beginning of the church. And they've asked him about doing something. No, no, Pastor. No, no. This is my place. A sense of place. He was sent to be that. That's his place. Okay, you have to find that place. Find that. Listen to me. Life will be better and more fulfilling when you get into that place. I have to tell you that where we are now, we paid a price to get there. But where we're at now is the place that we were created to be, doing what we're doing. It's the sweet spot. Okay? And I can tell you this, I'm having more fun. I'm having greater times in the Lord and in life. And I get to do things that I never dreamed of doing, people I never dreamed to see, you know? And do things that I never thought I would get to do. God raises you up. I was an Amish boy that shouldn't have never been able to leave the farm. But God sent me around the world. God sent me. God raised me up. God did that. There were times when it was really hard. Second church I pastored, there was somebody who did a power play, took the church from us. Just the people. There was nothing left for us to do. Bottom dropped out. Hard. And at that time, now listen to this, I had 3 secular job offers making more money than I'd ever made in my life. A lot more money. Each one of them. I'm thinking, I'll just choose one of those. I'll just do one of those. Because evidently, I don't have what it takes to be a pastor. You see how the devil comes along? So I told my wife one day, I said, I'm going to choose one of those jobs and we're just going to settle down and I'm just going to take that job and we're just going to do that. She looked at me and she said, you can't do that. You're called. Turned around and walked off. She said later, she didn't dare stay in that room. But I can tell you this, it woke me up, reminded me of my sense of that God had sent me. Now, at that time, I really didn't know where God sent me. I mean, I'm still looking for the place, you know, finding my place, trying to find my call, do what God said. You know what I'm saying? But I can tell you this, it was worth the search. It was worth the tears. It's worth the effort to be where God, oh, what a sense of peace. What a sense of power. You can't knock me out of my place. I'm in God. I'm surrounded by God. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm in the place God told me to be. And there's a, now I know I'm not And I don't look like I'm invincible, but there is a sense of invincibleness that comes with it. The ability to prevail. I'm standing right smack dab center in the will of God. Surrounded by nothing but God. All around me. Backing me up every step. Doing what God said. And that's not just for preachers, folks. That's for each one of us. God desires to join himself. Jesus said he was anointed by the Spirit before he said he sent me. In other words, he came and joined himself with Jesus, the Spirit of God did. That's what the word anointing means. Smeared together, rubbed together, joined together until they become one. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to anoint you, come, join himself with you, and help you walk out that which he sent you to do. God never intended you to do it in your own strength, but in depending on him. Amen? So you got to recognize all of this. I'm not trying to make something real heavy for you, okay? I am telling you that it's worth it. God sent me here to do this, to start this church. And I remember after we started, it didn't look like it was working. And so... Well, I remember one morning I was shaving. Not many people were coming. And I'm thinking to myself, I didn't come here. Pardon me, for a small group of people. Not because I'm somebody, but because I know God cares about every single person in this city, in Coles County, and within driving distance. You know what I'm saying? His heart longs for every person that's oblivious of what God is doing. In churches this morning that are not in church, that are not saved. God longs for them. I just said, God, I said, I'm not convinced you called me for just this small group of people. So one morning I'm shaving after it had been months of not much. And he said, just remember, this is my idea. That's another way of saying, I sent you. It's my idea. You go preach the word. And that day, a bunch of new people showed up. Because I said, okay, whatever. I let God have room to work. And then from there, it wasn't long before it doubled, and then we started increasing. But I have to, you understand, sometimes it doesn't look like it's working. It doesn't look like you're sent. But you have to, that's when the sense of being sent is so valuable. I am sent. Okay? I remember when God sent me to go work at Rhema. I was out traveling already at that time, and God sent me to go work at Rhema. There was a sense of being sent there. Sense of being sent to Mattoon. The sense of being sent to do what we're doing now. Okay? Some of you are business people. Listen to me. God has raised you up. I want to tell you something. You didn't do that by your own strength, your own power, your own ability. You got to give God credit for that. He sent you. You say, I just applied for the job, didn't know any better, and I said, I'm still here. Well, that's a lot of people's story, but let's look at the rest of the story, and that is that God sent you. God opened that door, whether you realize it or not. God gave you the opportunity. See, when you become a Christian, God wants to get involved. Isn't that right? And so as long as you're breathing, you've got something to do. God has his hand upon you. His Spirit is guiding you. He's wanting to raise you up to do something. You say, well, I don't know what it'd be. I don't know if I can do much anymore. Well, let me tell you something. Ananias didn't do much. All he did was go over to Saul, who was on a street called Straight, and said, God sent me to tell you, healing's coming. Here to heal you, bring healing to you, and that you might be filled with the Spirit, and told him a little bit of what God said to Paul. Had to say to Paul, that's all we read about him. That's it. You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something. Whatever it might be, big or little, you know, visible or invisible, behind the scenes, listen to me. Have that sense. This is why I was born. This is what God wants me to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you get, just stand to your feet right now, if you would. I just feel this. Some of you, I was preparing for this. I woke up suddenly at 3 o'clock this morning. I've never preached this message before. Never have. 3 o'clock this morning. Wide awake. Couldn't sleep. And after prayer, this is what came forth to me. I'm trusting it's the Lord. I'm trusting I'm speaking to people. Speaking to myself. Encouraging myself, okay? Talking about mission, talking about my purpose, talking about walking in what God sent me to do. Being as passionate about it now as I was the day I began. Excited, ready to go. I can tell you Mama passed away this week. Past week. We got home on Friday. We had a lot of work to do, worked till in the evening. Saturday morning, got up early to drive here. And I have to tell you, we're tired. I don't know if we've really got it all taken care of internally yet, as far as Mama passing away. But I want to tell you something right now. I'm where God sent me right now. And my wife said, should we call Pastor Matt? I said, no, we fought too hard. We fought too hard to not go. And we did. That I didn't, you know, some days you feel like it. Some days you don't. Some days you're more tired than you can describe. Some days it's so fun, so joyful, so fulfilling, it's amazing. You say, that makes it all worth it. Amen? So I'm encouraging you. Here's the deal. Rise up. Hear this. I believe the Spirit of God is saying it. Rise up to the place that God has sent you to. Rise up to the position that God has for you. Rise up to your privileges in Christ. Rise up to receive the benefits of the covenant that you have with God. Rise up. Receive. Some of you need to rise up and receive healing in your bodies. Some of you need to rise up and say, I declare I'm free of the stuff I've been dealing with. Deliverance is mine. Some of you, you've been doing without some things. Now I'm prophesying. You've been doing without some things, and it's time for you to rise up and say, I'm taking hold of the provision that's mine in Christ, in Jesus' name, right now. In Jesus' name, it's mine. I'm telling you, I'm taking it. I'm not letting go of it. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how it's getting to me, but I'm rising up. I'm taking hold of it, and I'm not letting go. As we used to say on the farm, come hell or high water, I'm not letting go. Some of you, I can tell you this. Spirit of God spoke to me in the nighttime. He said, some of you let go of some things. It's time to rise up, folks. It's time to rise up to what I'm talking to. May not be talking to all of you, but I'm talking to some of you. Time to rise up. Take hold of that again, that which you heard long time ago. And go with what God has for you. Oh, my friend, when you do, you'll discover a life. Oh, my goodness. It's beyond my ability to describe how privileged you can be by doing what God said. I know you'll go through things, but you're going to go through things anyway. Isn't that right? How many of you know troubles and trials come to every person? But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather face them in the will of God than out of the will of God. Isn't that right? at least within the will of God, God's helping me. Out of the will of God, I've removed myself from His help. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Rise up to the call of God. I hear that say, somebody. Rise up to the call of God on your life. Rise up. It's there. It's never been removed. Never gone away. You heard it. It's still there. Rise up. Rise up. Somebody when we're talking about these things, what might be healing, might be deliverance, might be provision, might be stepping into your place in the body of Christ or in the kingdom of God, might be answering the call. It may be just simply recognizing that God has put me where I'm at, and I want to give honor to God. But I want us, whatever it might be, let us lift our hands to God and give Him credit. Let's give our commitment to God right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to go where we're sent, to be where we're sent. We give You the credit, Lord. We reach up, we rise up to receive all that You have for us. Healing, ability, open doors, opportunities, provision, deliverance, callings, giftings, talents, skills, resources, connections, divine appointments. We receive right where we're at right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Here's what I hear. Spirit of God has been poured out upon young and old. So that means you're never too young to get involved with God. You're never too old to get involved with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now. I'm receiving from God this morning right now. I've got my faith out there. I'm receiving right now. Blessed be God. I'm rising up. Say it with me. I'm rising up. I'm not letting go. I'm taking back what I let go. Blessed be God. God is helping me. Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead is also raising me up. In Jesus' name. Thank You for it, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I tell you what, I'm just happy. Happy in God. I'm in my happy spot. Saw a book yesterday, said, How to Be Happy Giving Your Money Away. I thought, I need that book. But I'm going to tell you something. How to Serve God and Be Happy About It. I could write a book on that. Hallelujah. Happy. Found more joy doing what God said. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I've got this living relationship with God, knowing that things are right. Things are right between me and God. Nothing stands between me and God. Ooh. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. I don't know all of you today. You may all be born again, but maybe you're not. Or you may have been born again at one time, but life has taken some different directions, and you need to rededicate your life to get right back with God like you used to be. If you're here today and you want prayer, and you'd say, "That's me. I need to receive Christ as my Savior." Or you would say, "I need to rededicate my life. I want to get back with God like I used to be." Just raise your hand right now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and say, "That's me. I see that hand." And put it back down, if you would, please. Anybody else that would raise your hand, say, "Pray for me." Anybody else? Pray for me. Pray for me. Just take a moment. Pray for me. Anybody else? Looking over the congregation as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and people are praying. Anybody else that would raise their hand and say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I see that hand. I want to rededicate my life. You can put it back down. Anybody else? God didn't send me here. God didn't send me here to preach an empty sermon. God sent me here with a message from Him. Anybody else that would slip their hand up and say, pray for me. I'm gonna dedicate my life, rededicate my life, or I want to receive Christ. When your head's bowed and eyes closed, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, forgive me for all my sin. I declare Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for receiving me as your child and allowing me to be a member in the family of God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm washed clean, white as snow, by the blood of Jesus. And I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.